had looked at RCIA. I started attending the RCIA to look at Roman Catholicism. And then as I attended the classes, I go, wait a minute, something doesn't make sense here. And I started asking questions and things just would not, there were a lot of problems with, and even contradictions. I was surprised, like some of the writings that I was reading, and then I would come and say, well, this is what I just read. They go, well, yeah, that's like ancient. We don't do that, you know, or, oh no, that, you don't follow that guy because that he's too traditional Roman Catholic. I'm like, what are you talking about? Either you're Catholic or you're not. I mean, if you're one faith, you're one faith. So I was really surprised. But when I came to Orthodox, I said, well, I'm reading this. I said, yep, that's true. I'm reading this. Yep, that's true. I'm reading this. Like everything with the fathers, like everything is true, true, true. I was like, okay, there was no battling. There was no fighting. It was like one church. It was very helpful for me. So, and I was baptized Roman Catholic and raised in Islam for a long time. And then I preached in Southern Baptist. I was actually baptized in the Spirit, spoke in tongues in the Pentecostals. At one point, so I've done that with the lady prophetess saying, I'm confirming that you definitely got the gift. But honestly, I didn't see that much of a difference in my life after that. But I visited many, many different denominations. I've served many denominations. I work with a nonprofit agency called International Students Incorporated and another one called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And we were like across churches from everywhere, Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, you know, what Roman Catholics, everybody's like, come on. Orthodox, I had never heard of Orthodox at that point, served all of them and got to lead Bible studies for different churches, which was a great blessing. And I was a full-time missionary on college campuses, mostly trying to reach international students, but it ended up being a lot of other students also would come. And they were being influenced by the professors, various belief systems. And I would offer, say, can I debate your professor and we'll just have a debate? And the professor was like, no, I want to control over the class. I want, you know, you can, like I don't want to debate over this. I said, okay, up to you. And they probably would have crushed me in the debate. I thought I knew pretty much everything I needed to know. And then it's been 30 years now. And I'm like, man, there's so much more to know than I had realized back then.
Yeah. What kind of professors did you debate out of curiosity?
Well, from just various background, philosophy professors, professors with various, really different subjects that they taught. But philosophy was the big one. They would try to really, really hurt our students many times. And I'm like, okay, let's.
Like atheist professors?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I offered. They just wouldn't take me on or take me up on it. And now, I also debated a lot of Muslims. Now, Muslims, I debated all the time. And I would have open debates, no problem. Let's talk about it. No big deal at all for me. But honestly, the more I grow in the Lord, and especially in an Orthodox path, the less I'm into debates.
Yeah.
The less I'm into scholastic. Just head knowledge is more about practicing the faith and getting to know God in my heart. And when I get to know God, everything becomes so clear. And it's like, okay, all this other stuff is not as, I don't know, I have a hard time relating to it maybe, even though I've come from all those backgrounds and I was convinced of all this, but now it's like,
well,
I'm just drawing near to the Lord now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's interesting because, you know, ironically, I mean, you mentioned Scholastic. It's interesting because there's a story of, from the Roman Catholic Church, of, Thomas Aquinas, and he had, this moment of, you know, at least when he thought, oh, he had this kind of, spiritual moment, and then he was like, you know, everything I've written is just, you know, it's, he described it in a specific way, but it's basically just, ash. Right, it's like meaningless. All the scholastic theology I've written, it's meaningless because I've had the experience of God. So even Thomas Aquinas.
Wow, so he got it.
Yeah, even Thomas Aquinas from the scholastic tradition, he had that kind of similar.
So if they had built on that, they would become Orthodox. If they just built around that, they would be Orthodox.
Yeah.
Because Orthodox goes beyond just the scholastic mindset. Yeah. It is definitely a real, true experience with the Lord.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go look for Jason and Liam, or do you not want to lose any more minutes?
Maybe we'll just start, and if they come, they come. Maybe something happened. And, let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord God in heaven, we come before your throne of grace. We thank you for who you are in the Holy Trinity as one God. We pray that you open our hearts and illuminate our whole being, that we be transformed to become more like Christ Jesus. Help us to learn what it means to experience your incarnation and your healing grace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
There he is.
I was helping with cleanup and making sure Liam was getting over here.
They're about to come chase you.
Yeah, right. Now I was helping with cleanup. Liam's about to come inside. I'm just saying.
Okay. How many of you know this word? Anakephaliosis.
Not me.
Anakephaliosis.
Still learning my Greek.
Good. Well, and why does it matter? It's not about just learning mental things, but it's about why does it matter? It is going to be transformational if you open your heart to it. And to do that, I would ask you to do this one thing, to move your thoughts into your heart and to cry out the name of Jesus and just say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. And throughout our study, I want you to constantly ask the Lord to illuminate your whole being to what we're learning today. And really do this anytime you listen to an Orthodox theologian, an Orthodox and lesson or Orthodox homily or study or anything, pray. And even non-Orthodox, pray. Why? Because it will help to discern what is truth, what is not, and open up to what God wants to do in your life personally. Now, did anybody get to read the email that I sent out?
I did not. Actually.
Okay, no. Okay. How can we arrive at Christmas this year not exhausted and distracted, but radiant, with a heart so filled with God's healing grace that it overcomes our long-fought anxieties and the besetting sickness of our souls? The world offers us a frantic holiday season, leaving us drained, but God offers a sacred journey in the Orthodox path. A 40-day path that began yesterday, a 40-day path of healing that leads to a Christmas unlike any other you've ever had. A Christmas where you don't just remember the birth of Christ, but you experience a life-changing power that is filled with a love that casts out all fear. And this is not going to be about trying harder. It is about opening yourselves up to the divine medicine that heals humanity from the inside out. It is a transformation that I'm going to cover today in four phases and four main points. The first one is understanding how to restart humanity. It's a pretty big challenge. To restart humanity from conception to life forevermore beyond death. The theological term for this is the word that we just said. What was that word? That's a tough one, I'll admit. Yeah, Liam knows the word, right?
What's the word? What's the question?
I was like, I'm blowing my head. Anakephaliosis.
Oh, I've never
heard. Anakephaliosis. I want you to discover how Jesus didn't just visit our world, but he entered and healed every stage of the human life from birth to death, so that no part of your story and my story is beyond his redeeming touch. That's going to be the first point that we'll talk about today. The second is the uniting to Christ humanity. I want you to learn the practical secret of plugging our brokenness directly into God's wholeness, allowing His divinity to heal our passions and wounds from the inside out. The third point that we're going to cover today, to experience Christ's victory over corruption and death. All the darkness, all the anxieties, all the fears, all the distracted thoughts that goes through our being. How we can have Christ's victory over all of it by shifting our focus from the cross as just a mere payment. And this is where I used to teach in Pentecostals or Southern Baptists or even much of Roman Catholicism. That is, we see the cross as just a mere payment. But in Orthodoxy, we see it as a triumphant conquest over the very forces of evil, the forces of death and decay. When you look at the icon, Christ is victorious over death. A very important concept. And decay, like our anxieties, our fears, all the different ways that decay shows up in our inner being, Christ is victorious over that. And to us, the cross means more than that. That's why, as some of you have noticed lately, you're saying, I used to have struggles with certain passions, and I'm now making the sign of the cross, as you told me. And as I do, I find the passions weakening. When I'm struggling with something, when I'm having a hard time. And I can tell you, that's why you see me constantly making the sign of the cross as an Orthodox Christian. And 1600 years ago, St. John Chrysostom, the golden mouth preacher, whose life we just celebrated a couple of days ago in Orthodox Church. If you were online, you would notice it. I was up at 1:30 in the morning. I'm listening to monastic prayers. And as they're praying, I'm like, oh, it's St. John Chrysostom's Day. Wow, okay. I don't want to miss this one. This is a big one. When I was back in Texas, we had 17 Orthodox churches. You would never miss this one. You would have liturgies everywhere. So you go to one of them no matter what. Hopefully, that will be a good thing to have here. I want to have at least 17 Orthodox churches in Savannah. It would be a great blessing. This one, as Father says, we'll have maybe 500 to 5,000 people, fine, whatever it takes, but it would be great to have more. So people can, if they're living in Brunswick, they're living in Statesboro, where if you're living in Vidalia, you can go to a church just maybe within a 30 minutes or less distance, preferably, not like I used to have to do 4 hours back and forth every Sunday for 2 years. So it can be a challenge. Some people I wanted to invite, they said, I would come, but I'm not traveling 4 hours. I said, okay, Christ is there. When you experience the Orthodox Church, what happens during the Divine Liturgy as you're serving back there? What do you notice, Liam? What is going on during the Divine Liturgy when you're back there serving?
So the Holy Spirit is descending.
The Holy Spirit is descending, yes. And whose presence?
Christ and the angels.
And the angels? Yes. Now for us, we see that through a vision of our being. And we have to open our being. And some of you are not there. You go, you know what? I came. I saw people worship India. It's kind of cool. I don't see it. It takes a while. And I can tell you, it's taken me years and years and years to have my heart open to experience. And it's not about the experience. Sometimes you will come and you go, I don't experience it, but I know it's real. So I'm going to keep coming. And then there are times when there's such a flooding of tears of love that's flowing in my being that I can almost see the clouds removed and I can see the Lord and I can see the angels present. And I'm like, wow, okay, this is pretty intense. Just His presence is so intense. I want you to experience Christ's victory in that way. And number four today that we want to talk about, having all of our humanity flooded with the grace of God to move beyond just a compartmentalized faith and learn how to sanctify our whole life. Our work, our relationships, our joys, our sorrows, our suffering, to make it all as a living, giving, constant connection, a way to constantly connect with God, a life-giving, constant connection with God's uncreated energies through noetic prayer, which is what you're praying right now. You're moving your thought to your heart and just saying, your focus is, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Then I'm going to provide you some really powerful practical tips that I hope will help you to know what Christmas is supposed to be like versus what has been before. I can tell you, before I entered Orthodox Church, Christmas was fun, and I enjoyed it. There were times, I mean, I'm always looking forward to it. But after I became Orthodox and I experienced my first nativity by practicing everything that the church taught, it was almost like I'd never practiced Christmas before, ever before. I mean, just, it was like a million times stronger. I mean, it's so strong. But it was by practicing everything that the church taught and by living it out. If I just, even after I became Orthodox, I still didn't practice it necessarily in all areas. I didn't quite get why I would need to fast for maybe 40 days and pray. But it's incredible. Versus before, it'd be like, hey, let's go to a party. Let's go eat some. Let's go drink some. Let's go eat some more. I mean, it was always just, and then, okay, then get some gifts and figure out who you're going to give to and what you're going to give and who's going to get something for you. And you go in, and then you have one day, you come, you open up the gifts. Great. And then it's over. It's like, versus the Orthodox experience for 40 days, you're going to build up and build up and build up to open up your whole being so that everything from your childhood to your life now and your eternal focus, everything is going to be transformed by the divine grace of God as you open it all up to get the fullness of God himself. In this word, anakephaliosis. So how does this term, what does this term mean? And how does it help us heal every stage of our human life from birth to death? I thought of this. If you've ever looked at an old family and photo, and maybe you felt a pang of sorrow as you saw someone, because it wasn't just a moment lost in time, but for the story of that person that you saw, the hidden wounds of a difficult childhood, maybe the struggles of adolescence, the burdenhoods of your adulthood, the fears of aging. It can all feel as if our entire human journey from our first cry to the last breath is marred by a brokenness we cannot fix. We wonder if God is only interested in our souls, while the actual messy, beautiful and painful narrative of our lives remain untouched by God's grace. And what if the gospel, the Orthodox gospel, reached much, much deeper? What if God in Christ didn't just send a message of forgiveness from heaven, but entered into the full, gritty timeline of human existence to heal it from the inside? And that's what the glorious mystery of anakephaliosis stands for. St. Irenaeus, do you know who he is?
I've heard of him. He's from the late second century.
Yeah. Okay.
He was obviously the bishop of Lyons, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which is in like modern France.
Yeah. Lyon, yes.
Yeah,
in Gaul, which is France.
Yeah.
He was
guess
John the Apostle, right?
Kind of a secondary one, yes. Yes. So John, who wrote the Gospel of John, wrote Revelations, who was one of the great apostles, the one that was very close to the Lord, very supernatural relationship. He was getting great visions that we have records of. He personally chose a guy named Polycarp, and Polycarp was trained by him personally and chosen to lead the church in a certain area. Polycarp personally chose Irenaeus to lead the church. Now, Irenaeus has a volume of writings that it would be great for you to get into to listen to, because you will find that from the beginning, Satan began to plan a way to take away this experience of the incarnation of the Lord by saying is not real. What did they say? The Gnostics would say, hey, this was all just a figment of, just kind of like a mirage.
Yeah.
It's not physical. Why? Because they began to come up with a weird theology that matter is evil. Everything flesh in your flesh, your body, is evil. Therefore, God could not have become flesh because flesh is evil. And the Orthodox Christians from the first century on, they said, I know Satan wants to take away the power of incarnation, and I know why, and it has to do with this term that we're covering today. Because if God didn't really become man, then he's still separated from us, he's still far from us. And in order to experience him, you have to have a secret knowledge that only this cult Gnostic leaders could give to you. And the cult Gnostic leaders, like the preachers of today, that you see televangelists, they'll say, yeah, I'll give you this secret knowledge, secret power, if you give me lots of money. And not only that, they were not settled with that. They would have, and we know this because people left them and entered the church, it became one with the cat with the Orthodox Church at, back then. And they said, while I was there, one of these teachers, he actually said, oh, you're married, but you're so beautiful. Guess what? I'm going to give you the privilege of getting to touch God by becoming one of my harems, you know, one of my sex concubines. Manipulating the girls, manipulating the women to try to subject them to themselves. Now, in some ways, and today in our sexualized society, it's almost like we're being projected regularly through internet, through shows, through writings, through our teachers, that everything, you're supposed to somehow enter into sexual illicit behavior that will somehow bring you fulfillment. And then those who do, they go, oh, I got it. And then it was like, the next day I felt like that was it, you know. And then I got to go boast with everybody else and try to get somebody to actually affirm that I did something that was good or healthy or something. And if someone says, oh, yeah, great, and I still feel empty. So obviously it doesn't work, but these people taught it as a spiritual path. If you come, you actually come to church, and in church, the guy who's leading the church, he's leading you to commit this and saying it's a spiritual act, which is what goes on even now. If you watch on TV, if you watch, read many books, they're like, you know, oh, come experience spiritual tantra, I don't know, whatever. They have all this stuff. I don't know all the words, sorry. But I've seen sometimes their writings. I've read their writings. And I go, that's interesting. This is how they manipulate. Even Christians of various denominations, even some Orthodox, if they're not discerning, they can fall for it. They go, oh, a spiritual experience. I can have this by allowing this distortion of truth to come upon me. But this anakapeliosis is the divine truth that Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, plunged into every stage of human life from the vulnerability of the womb to beyond the silence of the tomb to sanctify it, heal it, and fill it with his life. This is different than what we think of many times when we think about what is salvation. We think of salvation. Well, Jesus Christ came, he was a little baby, maybe, and then, oh, let's talk about the cross. Oh, yeah, he went to the cross, and then the Father got wrathful, and he poured out his wrath on the Son, and then he paid for my sins. And so if I accept this, I get this magical ticket that I can go to the gates when I die. And I said, here's my ticket. I prayed this prayer, and I'm saved, Lord, and you can't take away my salvation, so let me come into heaven one day. That's what many denominations teach. Unfortunately, that's what I used to teach. But when you read the writings of the actual people that were taught by the apostles, like St. Irenaeus, this is what you hear. And I was amazed when I was researching this week, I saw a Protestant theologian who knew about this term. They used it in a recapitulation, I think they used it. But it's the Greek word, just using it in a different English term. And they said, oh, well, there are all these Bible verses that confirm this, but it disagrees with our view of atonement, therefore we're not going to embrace it. And Irenaeus was wrong. I'm like, okay, you're 2,000 years from Jesus Christ. You see it in the very Bible verses that you're quoting, and you said Irenaeus was wrong because he doesn't agree with my view of the atonement. I go, maybe your view of atonement is wrong. Maybe you need to accept what Christ and the apostles taught rather than make up your own theology and your own view of the scriptures. It would seem to make sense. But this guy's on YouTube. I was listening. I was like, this is crazy. You get it. You're pointing to it and you go, but it doesn't agree with our view of atonement. Therefore, it's wrong. So let me read to you a few Bible verses around this. Maybe it will help. Philippians 2. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a slave, being made in human likeness. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now notice, we're not talking about he just came, went to the cross, right? It was about from even his very, imagine this, God who the whole universe cannot contain. He is beyond space and time, and yet he chooses to humble himself to become a child in the womb. It's a pretty intense thought. And that's why you have to pray Jesus' prayer. You have to open up your being because this is not something we can grasp here. In fact, many people could not accept the faith. I know in Islamic theology that I was taught, we couldn't accept it because it doesn't make sense in my head here. It's like, well, if I can make sense of God in my own head, maybe God is not God. Maybe it's my own creation. Just something to think about, right? Yes.
I always think about it. It's said that like God will confound the logic of those who deem themselves smart or whatever. So it's not supposed to. You're not supposed to get it, kind of because you can't really understand, like we as mortals can't really understand it properly anyway.
Well, if your heart is filled with darkness, then your mind cannot think clearly enough to receive it.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. It's not that we're against the mind. We want the mind to be made whole. We want it to be made smarter than everybody else. I mean, but true brilliance doesn't limit itself to just what it can figure out on its own. It can say, you know what, I need to tap into God who is infinite in wisdom, and if I can, I can become smarter than the smartest chess player.
Yeah.
I mean, in many ways, because I can figure things out much more. I mean, forget, you know, I watch sometimes the grandmasters playing in chess and they're growing and growing in scores. I mean, 27, 2800 used to be a big thing. Now they're like well beyond that. And before that, it was like 2200, 2400. It was a big thing. And they just keep growing and growing. And I go, if you can tap into the divine wisdom of God, imagine you'd be able to come to the most complex chess puzzle and going there and within not even a second go, oh, I figured it out. Something that even the most advanced artificial intelligence and highest computer system could not do. Just so we're not against the mind, we're just against the mind when it has a darkened heart.
Yeah.
If I'm living a darkened life, and just to see an example of this, right, during the whole COVID lockdowns, you watch so-called scientists come out and they would tell you, no, there was a bat in a cave hundreds of miles away and that's what caused this problem. When they had actually seen the data that showed this was artificially made, this was something that was done wrong, and now we have the emails that show us that actually this was, they knew this. All Fauci knew this. Other guys knew this. But they were trying to cover up because they had given up their own money and they had secretly funneled this around our laws to make it in other countries, Ukraine, China, and other places, and said we can use this to do something that's illegal. So we have to cover it up now and try to tell people. But in the name of science. If you don't believe what they tell you, I remember because I went through all this, oh, you don't believe in science. Well, that's funny. 5 years later, now everybody's like, what science? This was all cover up. You were covering up the actual data.
Yeah.
So for us, we want to know that there are, if the heart isn't pure, if a guy is motivated because he's the highest paying government worker, $1 million a year, and his wife is making almost $1 million a year. Maybe they're motivated by something else than just that. And that can cause a problem. If my heart, nothing wrong with making money necessarily, but if the heart is impure, if the heart is wrong, the mind can even fool itself, deceive itself to believe something that's a lie.
Precisely what rationalization is. You can rationalize anything, right? But that doesn't make it true, right?
Correct.
All truth comes from God, correct, ultimately. And if our heart is darkened to God, it's darkened to truth. So if we can, you know, play all the little language games, all the, you know, I believe science, I believe this or that, right? But it's just us rationalizing our own ignorance. quite literally.
Yes.
Ignorance of God.
And so for us, for the Orthodox theology, it's important to know that Jesus, our salvation that Jesus Christ brought, it is beyond comprehension in some ways. It is God who is just, that he would humble himself to become a child. At that point, all of creation is being impacted. All children in the womb is being impacted. The whole universe is being impacted, that God became flesh. And he said, I know you cannot relate to me as well if I'm far away. And I've appeared to you as a man in the Old Testament several times, but now I'm actually going to take the form of a man without coming through a dad. I'm going to come through a virgin birth, the Theotokos, the God-bearer. And she is going to allow me to with her womb, to bring into the world life. And in that, I'm bringing myself as a child. And then as I'm growing in the Lord, and the scriptures record this over and over, by the way, there are many, many scriptures around this. And in this, they're recording that he grew in stature and wisdom. But yet, this same child, the Orthodox theologians also told us from the beginning, while he was a child, he was also holding the whole universe together because he was also fully God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's, it might be in the Psalms. I can't remember who or what said this, but it was like if God left us, we'd return to dust. Mm. You know what I mean? So he didn't leave us at all. In fact, he came closer to us.
Yes. Great point. Yeah. Wow, I love that. Yes, absolutely.
That's a very good point. And like, just to add on to that real quick, it's like, God's grace, God's uncreated energy is life, right? Mm. Whereas dust represents nothingness, non-being.
Yes.
In ourselves, apart from God, we are dust, we are nothingness.
Yes.
But in God, we have life, we participate in the uncreated life, and that's because God gives us existence. We only exist if God wills us to exist.
Yeah, it's true.
So imagine light years away, we're talking millions and millions and millions and millions of years away, like in distance if you could travel, planets. And God, who is across, who is all everywhere in all the universe and beyond, and yet he would choose this little small planet that was almost like a speck of dust in you know, when compared to the whole universe. And then he would also come down to this less than an amoeba, right? I mean, us, humanity, us humans, and become one of us. The humility that it took for him to do that, it's very different. That's why when an atheist gets up, sometimes I've seen these guys get up, and they'll say, if God is real, I'm on stage, go ahead, throw a lightning. I'm going to say you don't exist, go ahead, throw a lightning. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not the nature of God. You got the wrong God. Go to the demons and say that. Go to Satan. Satan, if you're real, go ahead and zap me. But that's not what God wants to do.
Yeah.
God wants to heal humanity. God became man to reveal himself. He wants to draw near to us, as you beautifully said. So in that case, he's not like, well, I'm denying you, so go zap me. Guys, that's not what God is about. God wants to heal. God wants to heal humanity. He wants to heal each one of us. And every one of us have got sicknesses inside of us called hamartias in the Greek. often translated as sin. And when we think of sin, it is sin, but we're distorting the idea of what it means to be sinful. And that is that separation from God, separation from his grace. Not receiving his grace is causing us to embrace, to resist the light of God.
Yeah.
And that causes us to experience darkness. But darkness, you know, whatever besetting sin we have, right? Whether I'm on the road and somebody cuts me off the wrong way, I mean, it can be pretty intense. I can tell you, yesterday, I think it was yesterday when I was driving, I couldn't believe it. I've never seen this in decades of driving, and I drove pretty fast when I was younger, very dangerously. Unfortunately, I thought Dukes of Hazzard is the way you learn how to drive.
Oh, yeah.
I was telling you today, it's crazy. I literally thought that, but I saw something this guy do that I've never seen in my life. Literally, I am doing about 55 miles an hour, maybe 60 miles an hour in the 55. I shouldn't say that. Maybe police will get me. But 60 in the 55. And there's another car doing 60 and 55 and one behind me. and this car, and there's a car coming, and there are a whole bunch of cars coming from the other side, and it's a two-lane highway. I'm talking, we didn't even have 50 feet between this car and the car coming head on from both sides. And this car behind us comes to pass and kicks it and goes in. I had to get off the road. The other car had to slam on its brakes, get off the road in order for this guy to make it. Otherwise, it would have been a head-on collision. There's no way he could have made it.
Yeah.
And I saw him do it again and again and again, 2-3 times. I was like, what is wrong with you? Yeah. I mean, the guy must be high on drugs or something, because I couldn't think of, oh, you're trying to kill yourself. Because I literally couldn't, I've never seen that in my life. And then what did I do at that moment? Before I was touched by the grace of God, I would go, I'm going to go chase that guy. I'm going to let him know what he shouldn't do. And I'm going to beat my horn, and I'm going to, you know, get his license plate. And I'm going to go chase that guy and get on his case. This time, my first inclination was, I make the sign of the cross and I say a prayer for the guy. Lord, have mercy. Keep him on the road. Keep him healed. I don't know what he's going through, or she. I don't know what life, you know, what is bringing in that person that there's, but I did. And within a couple of miles, I saw the guy calm down, and he wasn't passing anymore. I said, I don't know if you answer prayer, Lord, but I'm thankful that guy is not going to kill himself right now. I hope he continues to be safe. And I followed for probably another 5 miles, and he was not doing that anymore. I said, Lord, please keep him there. So that's an experience that God wants us to have as he transforms us, to constantly be filled with his grace in every area of our lives. For others, it might be, they're on the internet and some girl, you know, you're on X, which I get this stupid stuff all the time. They'll drop you a note. Hello. Oh, look at my picture. Look at how pretty I am. Would you like to start a conversation? Right? I'm like, I don't know who you are. So then I'll send them. I said, sure. Let me send you a link to one of my messages that I gave and see if you, would you like to talk about Jesus? I mean, that's what,
I'm sorry to break that to you. That's a bot. Yeah,
I know. I've seen them try to interact and try to change the subject, and I'll bring it back to the subject over, and after a while they give up. It's like, okay, whoever is doing it.
It's a good reflex though.
Yes.
Now, there would be a time when there have been many people that I've counseled over time that doesn't happen. They actually do, somebody will send something and then they provide a link, and the link leads them to some pornographic site, and they'll watch something, and it gets to their case and it gets to their heart, and it causes infections that destroys the soul and the mind and the heart and the body. They're addicted to it. And then, thankfully, in Orthodoxy, even when it happens, we can say, that's not the path God wants for you. That's not the wholesome, the way to be whole, but you're not beyond repair. Come to confession, receive the grace of God, receive forgiveness, and get back on the right track, which is what this word that we're talking about today means to us, that wholeness that God wants. He wants to reach whatever you've gone through in childhood. Maybe you were in the womb and somebody was beating you up in the womb. I mean, you have no control over that. Maybe you are a 3-year-old child and somebody is abusing you the wrong way. God wants to heal that. He wants to heal everything. So when we talk about God becoming man, he's actually interconnecting with man, humanity, in a way that says, I want to bring healing to your whole being, all that you are. That's salvation, by the way, in the Orthodox gospel, the unchanging gospel. Not the modern man-made tradition that says the gospel is what we talked about earlier. Now, one of the examples that we want to talk about, there's a guy named, and I was talking to someone this week. His name is Saint Gabriel of Georgia. You know of him?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. He burned a banner of Lenin.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the fools for Christ. There are many fools for Christ, but yes, one of them, yes. So imagine a huge banner of Lenin.
Like bigger than a building.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mega building. And he goes up and he burns it while the crowd is all worshiping Lenin, you know, basically.
Yeah.
And he goes, you shall have no idols except you. Only God you're supposed to worship.
Mm.
Icons are great. Idols are not. Icons are not idols, because I'm not worshiping this thing, and I'm not exalting an evil person. I'm saying this person, Holy Theotokos, she was a great witness to Jesus Christ. So I am wanting to remember her in order for me to become more like her in Christ. That's an icon. It is, and it's a window to heaven. She is real. She's alive today. She didn't die. Mm. She's continuing to live, and she's present and many times making herself manifested on earth. So I can say, Lord, help me. Holy Theotokos, you're before the throne of God, filled with God's grace, so one with God that sometimes you're just, your light is almost just a little bit less than the light of God because you're so one with God. I want you to pray to the Lord for me. And I want Saint Mary Magdalene to pray to the Lord for me. I want all of these. So these are icons, but idols are not acceptable in the church. Idols are that which is leading you to exalt evil. That which is telling you to worship this wood, this perishable thing means nothing. That's crazy. So that's what he did. But he got persecuted. He was tortured for Christ for doing this. But one thing that he said, and someone pointed this out to me, they said he would stand when he thought of himself too highly. He would go into a pile of garbage and stand and say, I'm a garbage. Why? He wanted to say, I want to remember that I'm nothing. I'm not going to exalt myself. So as I do, when people think of me, I'm a fool for Christ. It doesn't matter what you think of me. I don't care if you don't like me. I don't care if you talk bad about me. He would just stand there, no big deal, go ahead. And he would, no problem with this. Now, in the Bible, for example, it says you're but a worm. Okay, is a worm better than a garbage? I mean, I don't know which one is better, right? It's like, okay. But God became man in his humility. He's showing us the path in humility. Through humility, as I become like Christ, humble, who was equal with God, I can also experience the grace of God. Any thoughts or questions on that? For those listening on audio later, feel free to drop me an email if you have questions on that. Now, when you hear this, if it's too much for you to take, it's okay. Just pray Jesus' prayer. Just exalt the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, I think I get it. Maybe I do, maybe I don't, but has it transformed me? Have I experienced the divine grace of God, the divine light of God, the holy fire of God that the Orthodox saints experience regularly? Am I experiencing that? If I'm not, Lord, I'm still available. I'm just going to be faithful with what you've given me right where I'm at. Yes.
Being told, like, if you couldn't pray but one prayer for the rest of your life, that's the prayer that you'd ask for. Because when you say, Lord, have mercy on me, he knows what you need in mercy.
He sure knows a lot more than I know about myself. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
It's very different than the guy that's on TV or some of these mega churches that I've been to myself. When the guy is in the pulpit and he's saying, command God to come down and bow down to you and do your will because you're claiming his word. It's like, I'm sorry, I am going to command God because something I read in the Bible and I think that should apply to me right now. So I demand of God. It's like, I'm so stupid to think that I know what God wants for me. I don't know what God wants for me. I know he reveals some things, but as a specific, yep. In fact, this guy would get up. I need my 19th private jet. Can you send me some more millions of dollars to buy my next private jet or whatever? I mean, they're doing this. You're laughing, but it
sounds like Kenneth Copeland.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe you know one of the guys. There's a bunch of guys out there. He's not the only one. And there are preachers trying to imitate this guy, thinking he's a good guy to imitate. I'm saying, no, imitate the Theotokos. Imitate St. Irenaeus, who was also tortured for Christ. St. Mary Magdalene, imitate the martyrs. If you want to imitate anyone, die. Imitate St. Gabriel. Stand there and say, I'm but garbage. I'm but nobody. I think it was another saint who has great powers of healing grace. And as he's praying, there was a wounded animal that he prays a prayer and nothing happens. And then he says, Lord, I'm so unworthy that my prayer can't even heal a small little bird that's dying. At that moment, the bird comes back to life. Why? Because God has said, I want you to stay humble, stay humble, stay humble, stay humble, constantly.
I think it was St. Paisios.
St. Paisios.
He used to be a radio operator, and he says if you want to reach God, you got to tune yourself to humility because that's his frequency.
Mm-hmm. If you want to reach God, tune yourself to humility. I love it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was in like the Greek like army or something.
Yeah, he was in World War II.
Like before he became a monk.
And he almost died. I think like a bomb went off right next to him or something like that.
Now, there's a lot more to cover on point one. I won't cover all of it. We have limited time. But on point two, the practical benefits of uniting humanity to Christ's divinity is that it heals our passions and our wounds. And I'm inviting you this week, practically, to start and uniting your broken humanity to Christ's healing divinity. Asking God, show me what this means. And we'll cover more of this later in order to go deeper into this. And I really do want you to get these. But I'm going to mention a few Bible verses around this. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You know where that is? 2 Peter 1:4. Meditate on that. If you listen to the broadcast, if you are writing, remember this. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the icon of his Son, the image of his Son. Romans 8:29. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:13. This fullness of Christ that's our salvation. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on your new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Colossians 3:9-10. All of these just to affirm that God truly wants to unite our humanity with his divinity to heal our passions and our wounds. I want to pause here because of time. We started late. It's already 1:50. I don't want to totally burn you out. And I don't want you to not get what God has given to us. So maybe I will leave the rest of it for the next lesson to cover some more. What are your top takeaways from today so far?
I think one takeaway is that God is not, it's as you said, God doesn't just want our soul as like some abstract entity. He wants to make everything like him, right? He wants to make creation, though it's created, he wants to make it uncreated by his grace, right? And that, that starts from when he created it, and it continues through the incarnation, and it continues through the life of the church and the life of the saints. And ultimately, he just wants perfect unity between us who are created in him and who's uncreated, because there's no like separation between, oh, there's this evil material world as like the Gnostics taught, and there's this perfect spiritual realm, right? And then another thing the Gnostics believed is that the demiurge, the creator, is evil because he made this world, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is
like
utterly blasphemous, right? And of course, St. Irenaeus tears them a real one for that. Just in general, that everything finds its purpose in God, and that, there needs to be no separation, because ultimately separation from God is just nothingness. It's non-being, because from dust we came, to dust we will return.
Thank you. Yes, Jason.
God's mercy is infinite, and it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, or where you've gone about in life, there's always a time to repent, because God's mercy is infinite.
Yes.
That's all.
Beautiful. Any other thoughts? Lily? No? Okay. Charis? No. Jeremiah? Any thoughts?
I like the part where you talk about just like having to just have faith and just not knowing who God is, but still placing your trust in him. Because a lot of people try to figure God out on their own. When you talked about how he became like the virgin birth, I immediately thought of like the science where people are like, well, where do the other 23 chromosomes come from, right? Because there's no man. So you just got to stop wasting time trying to figure it out and be like, you know what? You're real, but I don't understand you, but I definitely want to get to know you. So I think that's important.
Wow. Any other thoughts? Questions?
Oh, yeah. The part with not idolizing and borderline worshiping human figures or following them to a T like Kenneth Copeland, Joel Osteen, or Lennon, and rather trying to imitate the life of the saints because they had Christ in them and they were positive reflections of Christ in his divinity. So,
amen. I love it. Interesting to put Lennon and Kenneth Copeland and Joel Osteen together. I don't know if they would appreciate that.
It's pretty close. They're pretty close.
Pray for their salvation. Pray for our own hearts. Any takeaways from you today?
Yeah, what Jeremiah said, just not to... just God and not try to rationalize what our own beliefs, because if you rationalize even our own ignorance,
yes,
our own darkness.
Yes.
You got a part two to that right there. That reminded me. Trying to rationalize the omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient God, we can't really rationalize and make God, who's infinite, into our finite minds. We can't really comprehend the fullness of the divinity and mysteries of that. So we don't have that capability, no matter how hard we try or how long we try.
I can tell you, as someone who got 199 in my Calculus 5 and Calculus 6 courses, everything that I learned in that does not even begin to, is not even like the dust on the ground to the knowledge of God that I'm gaining now. There's no comparison. There's zero, I mean, literally. And all of that could not lead me to where I want to be right now.
Trust the plan.
Trust the plan.
Trust the process.
Yes.
You know, my favorite response to people who are like, why doesn't God just defeat all evil? I just say, he will. Just wait.
Yes.
Trust the process. There's an order to all things, good and bad. I feel like I had a great way of putting this, but like God has like a plan for literally everything. It's just you can't control that plan. You got to trust the process because, you know, he knows infinitely more than you.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Very true.
Well, thank you. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we move our thoughts into our hearts where you live. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and save us. Illuminate our being by your grace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.